kind of feel like we should just end right here. I don't want to mess this thing up. Wow. Man, good stuff. Whew. Well, listen, guys, it's been a minute since I've been able to stand here and preach live to you. So I'm a little nervous. So what I like to do when I'm nervous is let's tell some embarrassing stories about Johnny J. You guys want to hear an embarrassing story about me? Of course you do. So, you guys know, man, I love nature. I love being out in nature. Problem is, man, nature gets me into trouble at times, people, because I can't be like certain people that can just look at it, be around it. I gotta get up in there, you know? I gotta touch stuff, you know? And there's lots of things in nature you probably shouldn't touch, so let me explain. So we had been at the Outer Banks, and Danette's parents had gotten this beautiful house near the ocean, and among these houses, they've dug these big freshwater lagoons, and when you would walk down to the beach, turtles, I mean, hundreds of turtles would, like, come up, they'd be looking at you, they want food. It was amazing. So of course, I'm like, dude, we got to grab one of these turtles, man. And the kids are like, yeah, Dad, get us a turtle. Now, mind you, Danette is not with me at this point, okay? This is always a key factor. I was going down with them alone. I found out something else, too, about turtles, guys. They're deceptively fast. They're like little cheetahs with shells on them at a short range, man. But you also know I'm one of the strongest, fastest people you've ever met. So I got me a turtle. It was awesome. It was beautiful. My kids had fun, taking pictures, released the thing back out, whatever. Have fun. You know, at some point, somebody had taken a picture. And so, as always, a vacation that night, we're looking through stuff. And I think I'm maybe laying in bed with Danette. And I have this question. Were you touching turtles? I'm like, what? So there's a picture of you grabbing this turtle. I was like, yeah, I grabbed a turtle. So what? She's like, babe, you don't want to be touching turtles. They're dirty. I'm like, it's a turtle. Nothing's gonna happen. I'm thinking, who cares about a turtle? They're probably the cleanest animals that have ever lived. They basically live in a bathtub. They're swimming around all day. I mean, come on. What could be the harm from touching a turtle? Relax. You shouldn't be touching turtles. I'm telling you right now. Whatever. I'm fine. You know, cuckoo. And I was fine until about 24 hours when we got home from vacation. And then stuff started happening to my body that should not happen to a body. I can't tell you guys what was happening to my body because I love you, and you don't want to hear what was going on in Casa de Johnny Jacobs. It was bad. All kind of things, man. I've got a fever. I've got the chills again. And finally, she's like, after a few days, she's like, babe, you got to go to the doctor. There is, like, something seriously wrong with you. I'm like, I am not going to the doctor. I'm going to beat this thing. Now, you know what's really happening inside. There's a little voice going, dude, you touched those turtles, and you know she's right, man. You know you got some turtle juice on you somewhere. I am not taking the L here. Won't go away. Finally, she's like, I made an appointment. You're going in. She drives me there because I don't even know how to get to the doctor. Last thing she says, you tell that man you were touching turtles. I'm not telling this guy I was touching turtles. He says, the doctor's going to figure out something else. I go in there. Really nice dude, you know, Mr. Jacobs, have you traveled, or what foods have you eaten? Have you eaten this, this, and this? No. Have you been out of the country? No. Have you been on vacation? Yes. I swear she texted him this question. Were you handling any wildlife? I'm like, what? I said, bro, I'm just going to say this just because, you know, I touched a turtle. His words? I thought so. Sir, you have salmonella poisoning. Turtles are harbingers of salmonella. You should never touch a turtle. The worst thing is now I got to walk out and this woman's going to be right. She's going to know. So anyhow, I come out. She knows. I get some meds. I'm feeling better. I'm like, listen, let's just not bring this up, okay? I don't need anyone to know because I'm feeling better. Let's just keep this between us. And the next day, I wake up to realize that this is the picture my wife has put on her Facebook page with this caption: the exact moment my husband got salmonella poisoning. To this day, people, if I call her on her phone, that is my profile picture. A lot of love. So here's what we do, though, man. Let me do you guys a solid. Don't touch turtles, okay? I love you. So we learn something in the Jacob's house, okay? This is what we do in life, right? I mean, I'm telling you guys, I was sick. When we find out something that messes with us, we find out something that hurts us, what do? I'll tell you what we do. We start drawing lines, right? Okay, I am never picking up another turtle as long as I live. Let's just lock that one down, all right? And I found out something crazy, guys. You know what? The government actually took care of that for me. They have a law that you can't buy a turtle. I didn't know this. We found out from the doctor and other people, like, evidently everyone knew not to touch turtles but me. Oh, yeah, dude, you can't even buy these things in the U.S., all right? And my wife loved this part in particular because it's talking about how they cause salmonella by touching turtles. Ding, 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 ding. It says, in fact, the sale of tiny turtles has been banned in the U.S. since 1975 because of the number of illnesses they can cause and the risk to children. Although any turtle can carry germs, tiny turtles are especially risky because children are more likely to handle them and get sick. She's like, notice they didn't say anything about adults. Only little kids touch these turtles. Government, guys, said, we're drawing a line, man. You can't even buy them. And this is what we do in life, right? It's very important what we're talking about today, guys. There's all kinds of lines out there to help us, aren't they? You can't see them, but they're super real. So, for instance, sometimes, again, the government tries to help us out. They made seatbelts go in cars, and they thought, like, this is a no-brainer, man. People are going to get into a 3,000-pound killing machine and go 80 miles an hour. They're going to strap that thing on. But people didn't do it. They said, okay, we're drawing the line, man. We're making it a law. You don't wear one, you're going to get a ticket. We found out when we had Nico, we went at a certain point to get a baby walker. People are like, I don't think you can get one. I think they're banned. I'm like, again, classic smart John Jacobs. They're not banned. Who would ban a baby walker? Baby walkers are banned in Canada. Evidently, people were, again, you don't have to walk like this all day. You just put the baby in the thing and let him go. Well, people were having them upstairs, and babies were toppling down the stairs. So Canada said, listen, we can't trust you Canadians. We're drawing the line. Illegal. Can't have it. Sometimes you just have these things in your own home, the people you love with. So, again, back in the day, because we love animals, we love pets, like, we're going to be those people because we've all heard the Sarah McLachlan song and seen the shelters, you know, in the arms of the angel, and we're going to go adopt these dogs that don't have a home. But my wife has asthma. She has allergies. It's no good to save a dying dog and have my wife die of asthma, so we drew the line, okay? We have to get the designer dogs that don't shed, blah, 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 blah. Guys, we're always drawing lines, aren't we? And for the most part, they're good. They keep us happy. They keep us safe. They keep us from dying, right? But this is when it becomes difficult. What do you do when the thing that's harming you, what do you do when the thing that's causing destruction in the community, at the job, in the church, in the family, is a person? What do you do when you find out that everyone has agreed that person is you? You're the one that can't get it together. You're the one that can't get a grip. You're the one that literally makes this family feel like we're dying, and we're drawing a line, man. That's it. You got to go. It's too important for us to survive. We've given you too many chances. We're drawing a line. I don't know if you've been there, but all of us know somebody who's had that happen to them, or who's done that to themselves. We've all known people that feel like the problem in life is me. They've drawn the line at me. And what's it gonna take to cross that line? To come back? To get back? Have you ever felt like that outcast? Have you ever felt like that problem? And it's what we're talking about today. So we're gonna be in Luke chapter 5. Guys, I'm just looking at two verses, okay? We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, looking at verses 12 and 13. Simple story with huge implications for us. Because, man, the last thing we want anyone here leaving is wrong information about God, which we find out in Jesus. That's what this whole church is about. We're all about, guys. Looking at Jesus, seeing who he is, how he is, and following him. In our passage today, just to kind of set it up, if you remember, you know, we're in a series called Into the Deep, and Jesus and Peter have had an encounter. Jesus sent him out into the deep after he'd been fishing all night. He's like, Jesus, you're crazy. And they go out and they catch all these fish. And Peter comes back and says, hey, man, you got to get away from me. I'm a sinful man. And interestingly, Jesus says, no. No, come on, come close. Follow me. Don't be afraid. I'm going to send you out to fish for people. That's where we're at in the story. So now Jesus, this rabbi, fairly early on in his ministry, he's got guys now that are following him. And it's so important, again, we think about this. More even than he's telling people about the law, more even than he's telling people about God and life, he's walking around and showing them, this is what God would do. This is how we do life here on earth now. So let's look at this first verse here, and it's a story a lot of you guys know. But let your mind go there. So Luke 5:12. Well, Jesus was in one of the towns. A man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And so again, I just want to stop there because if you're like a lot of people, we read these stories. Okay, I've heard that. Jesus heals people. He's going to do this lots. Big deal. And leprosy, anybody know any lepers? Anybody dealing with leprosy out there today? Yeah, it's interesting. Most of us know the word, and if you don't, we're going to talk about that in a minute. It's not something we deal with now. We can't really even relate to that. It's a curable disease now, if they catch us soon enough. And what we need to do to understand what's happening with Jesus, this whole story, is we got to go back there, because this story is really about two men and one very real line. This story is really a picture of God and of us. And again, that one very real line. So who is this man? This nameless man that's calling out to Jesus, this leper. What is going on with him? So let me tell you a little bit about leprosy. Again, no Cleveland Clinic back in the day. No lab work. These diseases were so different. And God, because he loves his people, takes illness and sickness very serious. Takes purity very serious. There was all different kind of purity laws in the Jewish communities. Things that you just had to do. And leprosy was one of the biggest ones. So rather than tell you, I'm just going to dive a little bit into leprosy. I got this from Chuck Swindoll. I thought it was so good. Let me tell you a bit about what's happening with this man in our story. It says, being diagnosed with leprosy was a death sentence. Physically, socially, economically, and spiritually. In fact, rabbinic tradition, which is what Jesus says, he's a rabbi, held that curing leprosy was as difficult as raising the dead. Perhaps because they saw the disease is a physical manifestation of sin's consequences. You can go back in the Old Testament, and there are several stories where people disobeyed God, and God struck them with leprosy. A leper was considered physically unclean and contagious, as well as spiritually unclean. It's a two-part sickness. That meant a leper was completely shunned from normal activities of community life and banned from inclusion in worship in the temple or any synagogue. Leper couldn't hold a job, couldn't live in a home, including with his own family, couldn't shop in a market, couldn't own property, couldn't touch, hug, or hold hands. Nothing. The leper's only option was begging for scraps, isolation, and waiting to physically deteriorate and die. That's the man in our story. That's the man who's about to encounter Jesus like I'm encountering this tape right now. Man, some sticky tape. Get off me, tape. Should have thought that one through. Guys, this is our guy. He's cut off by the law, by God. They've got to ring bells. They've got to shout unclean. The whole purpose was, if we care about the community at all, we don't go near this. We don't touch it. We don't deal with it. This is the man in our story, and he knows he belongs there. He knows this is what has to happen. But we've got another man in this story, and his name is Jesus. And I want us to look at three things that Jesus does that should help anybody that feels like an outcast, anybody that feels like they're cut off or too dirty. And the first thing, we can see it right there, man. He's near. Isn't that a powerful word? It says, you know, I find it fascinating, guys. You know, we look at Jesus and all these different things, and he's not building a building. He's not out sermon prepping. He's not printing up pamphlets. Over and over, he's just in the town among the people. But bigger than just being there, we all know this, right? That being near to somebody, it's bigger than just being physically with people. Yeah, I can look out here at a sea of faces and know probably the odds are that some of you can be shoulder to shoulder right now and be a million miles apart. You know what I'm talking about? You get in that fight with the wife, and been a couple days, and you're laying in bed, and you do the old toe touch test, like, try to get that buddy out there and just see what happens. Pull the leg away. Not that this has ever happened to me. I do marriage counseling. I heard it's common. Remember we talked about this, babe? Yeah, I'm near, but I'm not. Because, guys, it's a heart location. It's amazing, you know, again, you're going to see Jesus pursue people and over and over, but sometimes he's so near to them, even by being far away, the words he speaks, the prayers he prays, the ways he talks to God, near, it's a heart location. It's finding something in your house of a loved one that's passed away and reading it or touching it, and even though they're gone, they're right there back with you. He's near. And the hardest thing for us to believe is when we're going through those times when everybody has given up on us, when we've given up on ourselves, and sometimes for very good reasons, to believe that God would be near to a piece of garbage like me. But guys, the story of the Bible, the story of Jesus, over and over and over, when you're at your lowest, when you're hurting so bad, when your heart is just all shredded up, that's when he is so close. When your spirit is crushed, he's right there ready to save. That's God's word, guys. And you know why God's like that? Because more than you know, like it says there, he's like, I get this. I've been cast out too. I've been put behind that line as well. They rejected me as a king. They rejected me as a lover. They rejected me as a dad, as a father. You're the problem. We don't want it. I know how you feel. He's near. And he's listening. It's another thing. When you're going through these tough times and you know, okay, I know it. I know I messed up. But man, if I could just talk to you, if I could just explain what's going to happen next, if we could just sit down and, hey, can and people just, they just don't want to hear it, right? Or maybe they hear you, but they're not listening because we know there's a difference there too. You ever seen like a little kid come around and try to get like dad or mom's attention to this guy? And they're just like, come on, man. They're not listening. You ever seen a couple sitting down at a restaurant and you see one person talking and here's the other one just, they're right there. Hey, I hear you, but man, I'm not listening. We've got this amazing God. We see people in the scriptures over and over at their lowest. David is a prime example. Guys,
over 10 years, what we can figure, that he's on the run after he's been anointed king from the current king, running for his life. Guys, a decade, man, of like, I don't want to die. What am I going to do? And we see these Psalms where David is talking to God, completely cut off from big aspects of the kingdom, and God is listening. In fact, one of the most powerful ones is Psalm 139. He's talking about the importance of presence. And man, he's like, you know what, God, I can't go anywhere where you don't see me, man. If I'm kicking it up here and having a great time in heaven, you're there. And if I'm down here in living hell, you're there too. And you're listening. There's this line from that psalm that I love, like, man, actually, before I even speak the words, you know it. You're listening. And that's our guy. And he's sitting there again, guys, completely. He's been cast out by his family, by the people in his village. All these people are near. These people probably know him, and they've got to leave this guy for dead. How many times has he called out? What's the point anymore? And something tells him, this man, something is telling me one more time to call out. Hope is bubbling up from this guy, and his posture is so important. Don't miss this. It's not required by God. Some people think, this is what I got to do, man. I got to get down like this guy and rub my face in the dirt. Guys, you don't have to do that. But God's not opposed to it either. If that's all you got left, if you can't even look your eyes up, it says he put his head down and he's in the dirt. He's not even looking up. You ever had one of these? Like, I don't even want to see the rejection if it's coming. I can't cross this line. But I can call out. Maybe I could call out. And he does. And he's got these little dirty leper hands. Maybe worse than that, maybe not. But it's known. I want you to know what I'm asking, man. Lord, what a powerful phrase right there. This guy prays this incredible prayer that we could learn from. He doesn't ask for revenge. He doesn't ask for the system to change. He doesn't even take time to rail against God. He knows that there's something bigger than him. I can't do this. And the change that I need is me. Change me. Not my wife. Not my husband, not my kids, not the community. Lord, you can make me something totally different. Man, think about how we pray to God. Think of all the words we use and the excuses we make and the people we point out. And this beggar who's got nothing gets it right. Change me. You can make me clean. And again, let's just stop, guys. This is a Jewish rabbi. This is God's law. You don't touch those. If you care about the community, stay away. If you care about the community, you love people, don't touch them. If you care about the community, we just got to leave that thing alone. What is he going to do? This is going to affect everything that Jesus does. If he crosses this line, God wouldn't do that. God can't touch filthy things. That's why we have purity laws. That's why we stay away from the stuff. That's how we get things better. We put the bad things over there so the good things can stay over here so you guys can't contaminate us. And Jesus steps right over that line. He steps right over that line. He reaches. Again, what a powerful word. Reaches out his hands and he touches this guy. We all know that Jesus doesn't have to touch people to heal them. He wants this guy to know, I'm not afraid of that. I'm going to reach out. Before I do anything, I am going to touch you. And again, we're talking about a holy God. We're talking about the perfect Son of God. And we're talking about a guy. Don't understand. No matter what, this is a sinful, dirty dude, just like all of us, guys. And how do we picture God? What's God going to say here when he reaches out? Oh, am I willing to make you clean? Well, let's talk about that. Before we get to the clean part, why don't we talk about how we got here, buddy? Okay? Let's talk about what you did, by the way. Because, oh, you're all sorry now. But I seem to remember about 80 times that we've been here before, and here we are again. So, yeah, okay, maybe I might make you clean, but let's talk about what needs to happen. We're going to go to cleanliness school. I think you were touching some turtles the other week. Let's talk about that. Okay, we can't have that happen anymore. And then you're going to meet these people and those people. And then we're going to circle back in a week from now. And if any of these things aren't met, you're going right back over that line, dude. Instead, Jesus just says yes. He doesn't bring any of that up. Isn't that fascinating? The God who knows everything just says, yeah, I'm willing. And then so powerfully, notice in the scriptures when people don't have names, which always fascinates me, we make them so important. This guy, we don't know his name. It's the man with leprosy. He's been told for years now, months now, who knows, to walk around and ring bells and call himself one thing, unclean. You guys know what that's like? Hey, just walk around, let everyone know. Alky, divorced, perv, deadbeat dad, fat, all these different names, right? The people have called us that now we've adopted. Just let people know right up front. Jesus said, nah, I got a name for you. I'm going to call you clean. How about you just be that? That's what I'm going to call you. That's what he sends this guy away with. Guys, he's willing. He's willing to touch us, every person in this room. And he's willing and wanting to let all of you know right now, no matter what you did last week, last night, last year, when I look at you, I call you clean. This isn't just a Bible story. This is Jesus speaking over people, sinners, dirty people. This is what he calls us. And guys, again, the battle of your life is to not believe the voices in your head that are all very real to us. It's not to believe what your mom said, what your dad said, what your neighbor said, what your girlfriend, what your boyfriend said, what they said. The battle of your life is to get into God's word and say, let me believe what that said, what Jesus said. It's the battle of every... Guys, go back to the garden. Do you realize that when the enemy came to ruin this whole thing, which is always about this, divide and conquer, how can he divide us from God? He didn't ask Adam and Eve to murder anybody. He didn't get them to steal something or tell some big lie. His one thing that he got them to do was to doubt what God had said. That's how he divides us. Did God really say? So Jesus comes and calls everyone here clean, and the first thing we think is, And guys, if you're a parent, you've probably experienced this heartache. Again, we got this little guy. Any chance as a grandpa I can put a picture of him up there, I'm going to do it. Got to work it into the sermon. I sit here. When my daughter was pregnant, you know this, man. Baby's not even out. I'm in love. I don't care if an orangutan comes out of there, man. Like, I'm in love. And he comes out. Sometimes I get mad at me. I say all the time, the kid's got no skills. He's got no skills. And I couldn't love him more. And I'm always saying, buddy, you're awesome. I love you. Look at you, strong man. Check you out. Oh, you're so good looking. You're so handsome. He has this bib that has like a little trough at the end and all of his food falls in. It's disgusting. He lifts it up. I'm like, you're eating out of your food trough. That's so cool. Guys, you just choose. You're mine. I love you. But you know what? You know this. Homeboy's going to grow up. And there's this weird age. It's funny how kids forever think they're Superman and every girl thinks she's a princess and a beautiful. And one day they walk home and they tell you this. I found out something today. I'm ugly. I found out something today. I'm slow. I found out something today. I'm weak. I'm fat. I'm bad. And you're like, hold. No, you did something like, no, but hold on. And you feel my heart? If you're a parent at all, you know it. All of a sudden, these things get more real and more real, and things are spoken over your child's life. And you're like, listen, no, hold on. You're mine. I love you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. But just come back. Listen to me. And something's gotten in there, man. It's this battle. So how could this rabbi just touch this guy? How could this man just declare this guy clean, right? Because Jesus knows what we should know. The only thing that changed in the garden there was us and the consequences for us. Nothing changed with God, guys. When that whole thing happened, God never said, well, that was fun. Yep, this whole thing got ruined. You are terrible now. Mm-mm. No. God made a choice just like most of us have. In the beginning, when he was making man, it says before the creation of the world, God said, listen, here's what I'm going to do, man. When I make these people, this is going to be the apple of my eye, man. They're going to be holy. They're set apart for me, man. I'm so excited to do this. It's called Hesed love, by the way, covenant love. I will not not love them. I will not not see them in a certain way. And the story, guys, of our life is trying to find happiness, trying to find something outside of God. God's like, you can only find this in me because it never changes in me. We're the ones that run away from God because of sin. We're the ones that separate from people because of sin. And the whole time God's saying, what you need is me. And what we think is what we need to do is stay away. See, Jesus didn't really come to heal the sickness of leprosy, man. This is about a man cut off from his community. This is about a man cut off from God. This is about a man saying, well, good luck. And Jesus saying, you know what the cure is? Me. You need me. And I'm ready to step across that line. All you got to do is call out to me. He is the cure for this sickness, guys. I heard this thing the other day that I got to share with you. When God created fish in creation, you remember this? You know what he did? He spoke to the water. When God created the trees and the plants and vegetation, you know what he spoke to? He spoke to the land. Do you know what happened when God created us, when he created man? You know what he spoke to? Himself. I want to ask you this. What happens when you take a fish out of water? I thought about bringing a fish up here and just pulling it out. I didn't want to terrify the kids. Like, little thing flop around, you know. What's going to happen? And like, dude, you belong in water. That's what you came from. What happens when you rip a plant up out of soil? Dead. What happens when you take a human being out of the presence of God, out of the presence of their Father, they were created to be in, to gaze at, to look at, to hear from? We die. As we die. And Jesus is like, see, I know the equation. I got to get you back into me to get you back into the Father. So where we think this is so scandalous with him crossing lines, oh, keep that all away. Jesus is like, you've missed the whole thing. No, we got to get people up in this. You think you're infected? I'm infected with something better. When I touch you, you get infected. What you really need, I'm going to go out and I'm going to touch them all. I'm going to cross every line. We're going to see that Jesus is going to make all kinds of problems for himself because he's going to start crossing as many lines as he can. Read your Bibles. These aren't the good people, man. He came to seek and save the lost. He came for the sick, not the healthy. Man, we see this bleeding woman. Shouldn't be touching a rabbi. Jesus lets it happen. She needs what's in me. She needs to be back in the Father. We see this demoniac in a graveyard. Rabbis don't go in graveyards. They're not even supposed to be close to dead people. It's unclean. Jesus takes a trip across the whole lake just to free this one dude because that guy needs me, and he sends him back in his community. There's tax collectors which were cut off from the Jewish nation. They're not one of us anymore. They're robbing us. These guys were bad dudes. And Jesus goes, yo, Matthew, come on, buddy. Follow me. Get with me. Because I am what you need to be reunited. The woman who lived a sinful life, Jesus eating this dinner, this woman who's done all kinds of things sexually, is at his feet. Picture this.
a holy rabbi, there was laws just for women, period, yet less a woman at his feet with her hair down, wiping his feet with perfume and her tears. He's like, yeah, this is what she needs. There's a guy sucking his last breath because he's a bad dude on a cross. He was mocking Jesus at the beginning, and now he's calling out to him, and Jesus goes, yeah. Where are you going to be? You're being somewhere, but not with me. No, you're going to be with me because I'm what you need. This is what you were created to be. This is your life source. Thanks for recognizing. Yeah. Yeah. Guys, the sickness is the separation. Always. And so divine connection is the only cure for the human condition. What can I do to get that? Nothing except to call out. I can. Father, you can. Jesus, you can. His answer is always going to be yes, guys. It's about divine union now, not just about one day when you get to heaven. Jesus came to say the kingdom is here now. God's authority, what he's spoken, I'm bringing that back. I want people to know what he said, not what the enemy said. Because if we begin to believe that, again, we're not here just to do a Bible study. Guys, we're here to let God's word infect our life. So when we speak about ourselves, when we speak about our families, when we speak about people, everything changes. Everything. When you change what's coming out of here, mark my words, you change the declaration of your lips, you're going to change the destination of your life. That works both ways, by the way. You get around negative people, people that see the dirt, the filth, and everything. I can tell you what's going to happen to that community. The fear, the mistrust, the separation versus a people that know we were created to be in him. And we're all getting in there in one thing, going after one thing together. Because the whole message of Jesus, again, don't miss this, is about people that are behind that line, that he came down. Think about the people that say that God can't look on sin, God can't be around sin, that God the Father, when Jesus is on the cross, like, oh, there's some sin now. Like, well, it's bad theology. Jesus is God, and he's walking around sinners all the time because what he needs is to touch them and to heal them, to bring them near. Again, it's right there in Scripture, guys. Man, if you do nothing else, just go home today and read the whole book of Ephesians, okay? All this stuff about what does God really say? What do we have through Jesus? Man, let's not kid. We were far away. We were behind that line. Some bad stuff happened. If you're anything like me, I know who I was apart from him. But now through him, because of what he did, you see that? There's that word again. That's in the Bible, by the way. Just because of what he did, I've been brought near by his blood, by his death. By the way, he crossed out every line right there. I've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Why? Because he's my peace. And he's made the two groups one. Isn't that what lions do, guys? We got the us and we got the them. We got the conservatives, we got the liberals. We got the Black Lives Matter and we got the Blue Lives Matter. And we got the... You're all mine. I want to make the two groups one. I'm here to destroy this barrier, by the way. You guys know what happened when Jesus died? This veil that they had in the Holy of Holies that kept God away from us, the bad people. The minute Jesus died, so that thing was torn down the middle. So beautiful, powerful image of like, there's no barrier anymore, man. I'm right here. What you need is me. I'm not holding back. He broke the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh and who he was. All those laws and things, like I'm here to fulfill that and finish it. And there's our word. To create in himself. Outside of him, I don't have it. And that's my choice. But when I call out and when I'm in him, there's one new humanity out of the two. That's how we find peace. So what do we do, guys? Again, there's an action piece for us. We've got election time coming up. I know it seems like a long way, but it's not. There's been some elections happening even now, and there's all kinds of things in life again, and I hear the church constantly
talking about. We got to take a stand for this, and we got to stomp this out, and we got to let those people know. Love them, but we got to... Our job
is to be like Jesus and say, man, that wall of hostility is gone. And we've been called to do something. If Jesus came down and said, you can't make it right, but I did, and I'm crossing the sign, I'm here for you, our job is to do the same. Once we're in him, if anyone's in Christ, there's our word again, in. When you read your Bibles and you hear in Jesus, in Christ, in the Spirit, stop. There's a new creation's come. How could Jesus touch that guy? Because he already sees the new creation. That guy was already in the presence of Jesus. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who has reconciled us to himself. Reconciled means be reunited. It's made good. It's Gucci. We're okay. All of that. And then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Not the ministry of defending things, not the ministry of standing up for things, not the ministry of like, we've got to make sure we keep this clear barrier right here. No. In fact, if anything, I want you to know, we're good. It's reconciliation. That God, through Jesus, reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. The whole love the sinner, hate the sin. God's like, I'm not here to talk about sin. I'm here to talk about reconciliation. I'm here to talk about reunion. I'm here to talk about the fact that I'm what you need, and it's wide open. Let's go. And he has committed to us, the people that get this, the people that claim to follow. He's like, here's what I'm committing to you. Guys, do the same stuff Jesus does. When you see a line and you hear someone calling, you step over that thing. Why? Because you're my ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? You know what an ambassador is. So you're in a foreign nation, but there's a United Nations somewhere, and there's an ambassador there, and it's that person's job to say, listen, everything here, these are the laws of the United States. This is how we eat in the United States. This is what we look like. This is how we act. So it's our job to say, now that Christ is in me as a follower because of what he's done, my job is to be ambassador of heaven, and anything that's true up there is supposed to be true down there. Here through me. I'm an ambassador of this, man. And God's not counting your sin against you. So why would I do that? Why would I draw a line? Why would I put up a barrier? It's like God is making his appeal through us. What a powerful phrase. Why is this? Why can Jesus look at people so differently than us? Because he understands again, he's not looking at two. It's not us and them. It's not the good guys and the bad guys, the pure and the unclean. It's Ephesians, read it. It's one. Guys, it's always about one. When you read the story of the Bible, there are these two separate things that God's always trying to bring back together, us in him. Heaven, earth, man, woman, all these powerful pictures. I'm trying to show you, man, this is what I want. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Because hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Shema, one God. One Father, I'm over all but this last part. You know how God can touch all these people? You know how God can touch us? He's in us. He made us. In all. And it's such an important message for us, V-Town. I love when we get to talk just us. Because I was asked this question last night. Danette and I were at a birthday party. For Mama C, you guys know Mama C, my spiritual mother, and people ask me this question all the time. Hey, how's it going out there in Vermilion? You know what I tell them? Man, better than I could have imagined. I'm speaking amazing. People compliment me every day. It's what it's all about. You know, occasionally the worship band is good, but man, I'm hitting home runs. Let me tell you. No. I said, man, beyond encouraged, and I'll tell you why.
Guys, when we went through COVID, it was hard for everybody. But then we had the election right after that. I was about this close like everybody else, man. I'm sitting here. I thought, man, if one more person complains to me about fill in the blank, what we're doing wrong or who they're mad at, whatnot, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to take me and my little Jesus game, and I'm going to go with the net. We're going to go get a turtle farm started, and it's going to be great. Hygienic turtles. I'm done. Got my line. It was in my hand, ready to go. But man, Jesus is so amazing. And when he's in you, you have a big problem because he loves people. He loves people. And he loves me, and he lets me throw little hissy fits, which is what that was. Well, Johnny's throwing a little hissy fit. He got his line out. And he reminds me, John, I'm one. Just remind them. This is what we did as a staff. We were all, nobody knew what to do. I said, guys, what we're going to do, we're going to pray that people encounter Jesus when they come here. What? That's all we're going to do. If the lights go off, if nobody speaks, if the instruments get busted, we're just going to pray that people encounter Jesus. And then we're going to ask people to stay afterward and talk and love one another. Well, I got nothing else. And it changed everything. Asking people to stay. Tell people what's going on. Tell people really what's going on. Don't be afraid. And God convicted me, last passage of scripture, to pray. Jesus, one of the only prayers he prays for us that we know of, it's in John 17. I started praying this over us, myself. I'm continuing, guys. I would love for you to look in John 17. It says, Jesus prays for the other believers. It's us, by the way. And you know, this is Jesus speaking, by these are red letter words. He's praying and he says, Father, I pray that all of them, all of V-Town, all of Johnny J, all these people, I pray that they may be one. And listen to Jesus praying here. If we're so filthy, if we're so dirty, this is his prayer for us. Father, just as you are in me, and I'm in you, what a powerful relationship picture. May they also be in us. Wow. So that the world may believe that you sent me. That's how the world begins to believe. Our unity, our love, our oneness, our swirled up jumble of, I don't know how all this works, but these people just seem to care. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. God's given us his glory. What's his glory? His oneness, his unity. I in them, and you in me. I in them, you in me. That relationship again, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world's going to know. Then the world's going to know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Not your apologetics, not just a Bible study, not just a crusade. When people begin to say, I'm done with my lines. I've crossed over. And I just want to leave you again. The battle of your life is to what? Believe the word of God in his heart for you. Is for you to be in him right now. And it can happen right now. Simple as this. I can't, but you can. Make me clean, Father. Make me the husband I need to be. Make me the father I need to be. Make me the grandfather. Make me the friend. I can't, but you can. And those people in your life that feel like cast-offs, the people that feel like they don't belong, and you're just like, how do they not know? Father, we're praying that you'll do something in me, that they'll see your love and your oneness in me, that they may be in us in some way. I can't, but you can. and to believe. Guys, let's believe the word of God. No matter where you're at, you know where he's at? He's near to your situation, to your heart. And he's listening. He's listening, even if you got to get on your face and just barely cry out. And man, he is more than willing and desiring and eager to change it all right now. He's crossed that line. And he's so glad to be there with you. So, Father, as we close today, you've heard what we've said, and all we're doing is saying things you're saying, God. And so I pray right now in Jesus' name, as we get ready, Jesus, to commune with you. Commune. To have a super common union with you. To share a meal with you. Jesus, I'm praying for anybody in this room that believes that there's some big fat line that they can't cross and that they're just going to see right now. Your hand is right there and that they believe. As your broken body is sitting here, as your blood is sitting here, that they realize what you want is to be in them right now. Nothing holding them back except one little word, yes. Just saying yes to you, God. And if there's anybody not in unity in this place, Father, I pray that the one that's doing that, the one that's caused the line, just has enough love and courage to say, no more. I'm ripping that thing up. If God hasn't counted my stuff against me, I'm not doing it anymore with anybody else. How could I accept your love, God, and hold that love back from anybody else? So Jesus, don't let this be a cup of juice and a cracker for us right now. I pray that there's people that realize we get to put you in us right now. What a privilege. Because of nothing we've done, but everything you've done. And thank you for that. Being here and speaking and talking and moving in spirit. Spirit, I feel you lifting things off people and ripping up tape and lines and more. Don't fight it, by the way. Some of you are fighting this right now. Don't fight it. It's so real. He loves you so much. He doesn't want to talk. Some of you are trying to talk about your sins and stuff. He's done with that. He wants to talk about future forward. He wants to talk about your new name, clean. Yeah. In Jesus' name.